மிஸ்டர் நெடுமாறன், நானும் அந்த ஃப்ளைட்டில் இருந்தேன். நீங்கள் பரேஷ் கிட்ட சொன்னதெல்லாம் கேட்டேன். ஐம் பிரகாஷ் பாபு, எஸ்சிஏ வெஞ்சர் கேபிட்டலிஸ்ட்.
சரிங்க சார், உங்கள் ஆஃபீஸ்க்கு நேரடி வந்திருக்கேன்.
ஆல் ரைட், அங்கே கொடுக்காத டைம் இப்போ தரேன். ஓகே, 5 minutes. கம் கம்.
சார், காஃபி?
மாறன், உங்களுக்கு பசுக்குது, நான் பக்கத்தில் இருக்க ஸ்டார் ஹோட்டலுக்கு போயிருக்கலாமே.
சார், என்னோட ஐடியாவை புரிய வைக்கிறது இதோட நல்ல இடம் கிடையாது.
நல்லா இருக்கீங்களா?
நல்லா இருக்கேன்.
சாப்பிட்றீங்க?
சொல்லி.
உடுப்பி ஹோட்டலுக்கும் ஏர்லைனுக்கும் என்ன மேம் கனெக்ஷன்?
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Economist podcast. This is Tariq joining you along with Jayant.
Hey guys, what's happening?
So Jayant, we are here to talk about the movie that we heard a small little clip from at the top of this podcast. And the movie, of course, is something that has become a bit of a sensation since it released on Amazon Prime. The movie Surrai Patru, or Surrai Patru, to be more accurate with the pronunciation in Tamil, which I think roughly translates to salute the brave or respect the brave or something loosely on those lines.
Yeah, praise the brave to be more precise.
So the exact, there you have the exact translation of it. So it stars, of course, one of your favorite actors, Anth.
Yes, the guy who can actually pull off acting even after having the stardom.
So and it's a movie that he has been wanting for a long time in terms of, you know, adding to his repertoire of great roles that he's done in the past. So before we dive into what we want to talk about in terms of the content of the movie itself, Jayant, why don't you give us a little bit of a backgrounder of the film itself and how it got made, because it itself has a fascinating story behind it.
Yes, I mean, the movie is directed by a lady named Sudha Kongara. So her frame to shot to fame is one of our favorite movie starring Madhavan, Salakadus, which is made in Tamil, then of course again remade in Hindi, and it went on to win Filmfare, and of course brilliantly directed by her. She has this knack of turning movies, taking a plot and turning into a brilliant lead stories, and same thing which she has done here. What fascinated this movie is, after I watched the movie, we were just discussing in the house, and my brother just pointed out that how this movie is such, movie is of course based on a low-cost airline, which will come later, but of course movie is also a low-cost budget, made on a very low budget, which is around 15 to 20 crores, and Surya apparently didn't take the salary, and he became a co-producer. And the entire movie was planned in such a way, like it's like a project wherein each and every scene to scene was pre-planned in such a way that here is where we are going to shoot this scene. These are the characters, these are the dates, and it went on like a perfectly executed project kind of in terms of the dates and how they got into the other couple of big actors in the thing and how they approached them in terms of the dates and all is very fascinating. And they, of course, used runways because it's about the airlines. They used JSPL private runways, and that's how they got the entire movie made. And movie is made on 15 to 20 crores, and post-production, including all cost, if you add up Surya's salary and all, it's still low-cost thing, and they sold it to at a bombshell price to Amazon, and the movie is fascinating. Rest is history now. So
well, it has been a massive hit. Of course, we were speculating how it would have done if it had released in the box office, and surely it would have been probably just as big a hit as it has been on the streaming service, maybe even bigger.
Yes.
But of course, it's a great testament to them being able to make the movie with very efficient utilization of resources, if you could call it that. Yeah. Which is why you might find that It doesn't have extravagant special effects, although it does have few sequences which require extravagant special effects. Some of those might stretch your imagination a little bit. I have seen people sort of critical of the movie on those lines. But if after listening to this podcast, you feel like going and watching the movie, of course, it is streaming on Amazon Prime. And no, this is not a paid partnership with Amazon. We're just recommending it voluntarily. But if you do go and watch it, keep it in mind that this was designed to be an entertaining mass film, but at the same time, it also gets some of the basics right about the story that it wants to tell. And yes, our job here is going to be to dive into a part of that story, because this is loosely based on the development of low-cost airlines and the low-cost airline industry in India. And of course, the pioneer in that, which was Air Deccan. So, you know, no prizes for guessing that Surya's lead character in the film is loosely based on Captain Gopinath, whose vision it was to start Air Deccan, which pretty much revolutionized the Indian aviation sector and brought about a true revolution, really, because we have seen sectors change in post-liberalization India, but I don't think we have had a more dramatic story than what Air Deccan presented in those years. So, Jayant, let's dive into the movie and a particular part of the movie where Surya is trying to articulate his vision about what is it that he wants to do with airlines.
So here, the character which Surya is playing is trying to explain his whole vision of starting an airlines. And in the movie, he has been rejected by 20 plus bankers and various other VCs. And finally, he gets a VC who's ready to listen to his vision. And he takes him to a restaurant and he explains how his vision of starting a low-cost airline with an analogy of running like an Udupi restaurant. And he explains in terms of how why should the airline be serve only the niche segment of rich people. He wants to democratize and serve the larger sections of the society. So this is a scene wherein he's explaining his entire vision of starting the venture.
So he uses this killer analogy, like you mentioned, I mean, the order of masala dosa and, you know, a discussion over the dosa, he tries to explain that what he's wanting to open is basically a Udupi restaurant in the sky to democratize flying or make it affordable for more number of people. So which begs the question, Jayant, that we have to turn the clocks back here a little bit. We are talking about the late 90s and early 2000s at that point, when everybody knew that flying is an expensive business. I mean, normal people could not dream of affording a flight ticket. They would only do it like for maybe extreme emergency or a special purpose. And there was no concept of affordable tickets available. So the question we want to ask ourselves is, how did we get here? For which we'll have to, of course, dial right back to the cusp of Indian independence and try and understand how the economics of the Indian airline industry kind of developed from there.
Yes, we have to go back way back in time in terms of time travel, in terms of knowing how the entire industry evolved.
And we have to talk about, we have to travel so much way back in time that we have to talk about the man whose commercial pilot license was literally number one in India. I just said the number one because he was the first ever to train as a commercial pilot out of the country. And that would be, of course, JRD Tata, who, driven by this passion of flying and the aftermath of the World War, or the Second World War rather, India has a whole surplus of these planes that are either scrap or left aside. And there are a lot of people hustling to start the airline business. And one of them, of course, is JRD Tata, starts a certain airline by the name of Tata Airlines. But then India gains independence. And 3 years later, discussions begin on what should be done with the airline industry, where I think about close to a dozen, I think 11 airlines are given licenses to operate flights in the country. But then there is a classic twist, which is a very Indian economy twist, which happened to other sectors, including banking or even telecommunications or such other sectors that you can think of at the point because of India's economic vision. So if you could take our listeners down that memory lane and quickly describe what happened there.
So government issued around 11 licenses once they start the industry as a whole formal sector. Before they start this, they already had taken over the Tata Airlines and converted into a PSU with they bought all entire the majority stake post independence. And once the 11 licenses were given, it was running well for first few years. Then, of course, the rumbling started where there were far too many seats which were left, and because of predatory pricing. This is, we are talking about predatory pricing in 1950s, and this is airlines. And the result was they were each one wanted to cut the other out, and the pricing was so much that it resulted in lesser utilization of seats, and lesser utilization resulted in lesser profit. And finally, these guys went bust in terms of entire 11 guys went bust. And there was something known as committee set up. Like, we are famous for setting up a lot of committees throughout the our development thing. So there was a committee by name as Air Transport Inquiry Committee was set up to know why these guys went bust. And they went bust simply because of too much competition, and the guys couldn't afford the long gestation period of putting in money, sitting through the cycles and waiting for the things which none of the private guys had at that point of time. And the government realized that the only way to keep the thing going is, and they didn't want to take over the debt either, because why should losses be publicized and profits be privatized,
nationalized and the profits be privatized. So I mean, the classic situation happened. We saw a rerun of this later on in the banking industry as well, that a lot of fragmented competitors and lack of success leading to mass nationalization. So essentially where we got at, Jayant, is we got the Air Transport Act of 1953, which basically said, you know what, airlines are only going to be run by the government now. And we had the nationalized or national carriers emerge, which incidentally was a model in other countries as well, that countries used to have their own national carrier, which used to do the overseas flights and, of course, the domestic carrier within. Yes. So we got the Indian Airlines and Air India dichotomy that way. Air India was doing the international sector. Some of our listeners might be too young to even remember Air India, actually, because it's been a while since the merger.
Yeah.
But yes, Indian Airlines was handling the domestic sector. Air India was handling the overseas sector. But as is the case with most things that are nationalized, Jayant, we got through the next few decades. And unfortunately, it became more and more clear that the airlines were not making money. Tickets were still expensive because the airlines needed to make money. Tickets were expensive, they were not carrying enough passengers to be able to consistently turn a profit. Plus, as we'll later discuss, it's not always easy to turn a profit in the airline industry.
Yeah.
Which brings us.
They ran it for four decades, and it was a very scratchy in terms of the profits. And few 5 year rolling, few years there were profit, few years thing. But the other countries had already moved on in terms of getting private and thing. And now we come into 80s. Throw some light on what happened in 80s in terms of the airline industry policy.
So by the 1980s, I mean, growing tourism demand and general demand for air travel was forcing the government to think of ways of expanding capacity. Air India and Indian Airlines were not quite in a position to do so, mainly because they really did not have money to upgrade or expand their fleet at the rate that was required. But it was still a very strongly controlled economy. So in the mid 80s and late 80s, started handing out these air taxi operator licenses, which are basically not scheduled airlines, but planes running as and when, which were originally a thing for mainly for places where tourists and similar kind of demand needed to be catered to. So we had a few air taxi operators, but that brings us, of course, to 1991 and the liberalization, which in one fell swoop removed industrial licensing from most of the sectors and opened them up to competition. Of course, airlines would still not be open to competition. That would happen a couple of years later when, after a lot of debate and discussion, everybody realized that this Air Transport Act was not the greatest thing. And the duopoly, or effectively the monopoly, of Indian Airlines and Air India needed to be broken for the economics of the industry to change. And
yes,
it was struck off. So it was history. We entered a new open skies policy.
We issued 8 licenses. So who are the players involved? Jet Airways, Sahara India, Indian International, Archana Airways, East West, NEPC, Modi Lift, and Damania Airlines. So these are the guys who were issued licenses in 94. I think it was Modi Lift was the first one to actually take off as a private airlines first. Although someone else got the license first, but these guys were the first to take off in terms of the operational thing. And they were running okay for 2-3 years. And then again,
as you said, it's very difficult to make money in the airline market. And some of these guys did not necessarily have a lot of background or experience in running, which is also the problem that Indian Airlines and Air India had faced, because they had been run by bureaucrats for a long time. I mean, originally, when Tata Airlines became Air India, JRD Tata himself wanted an operational role and actually had it for a few years. But then everything became very bureaucratized and the expertise wasn't really there to sustain them. So by the mid and late 90s, we see again an absolute wipeout and rationalization of the industry. And by the time we enter the new century, the 2000s, we only know 3 airlines really, domestically speaking. Indian yes. Airlines and Sahara
and Jet
Airways. By 2003, the government is thinking about it again, that so many airlines we issued licenses, and this is 1950s happening all over again, because all these have gone bankrupt.
And remember, what made them think is Sahara's market share, I mean, Jet's market share was almost inching towards halfway mark, and they said, no, something is, the final year, something is wrong.
Clearly
is going on, into monopoly.
Of course, how Jet got themselves close enough to a monopoly is probably a discussion better suited for an entirely different podcast.
We can make a series on that.
But for now, let's come back to this whole point about, so all of these airlines were full service airlines, you know, had high ticket costs, which ran long-haul flights across the length and breadth of the country, scheduled flights with all kinds of facilities and so on. And what it did was it made choice almost non-existent for the Indian consumer. If they had to take a flight from one place to another, there were very few choices, and the cost was, of course, very high. I remember a friend of mine, Pankaj, when we initially came to Bangalore, he wanted to go back to Delhi. And he considered, rather than taking a train ticket, buy a flight ticket. But it was far too expensive. And I remember at that time, Sahara used to auction off 1 or 2 seats every day at a particular price. So you had to sort of, it was like a tatkal booking that you had to apply for it, like very early. You'd be very lucky if you'd get it. And I remember Pankaj got one of those seats, and he was absolutely thrilled that he had got it at like half the price. And he flew from Bangalore to Delhi, which was incidentally, I think, the first ever time he had taken a flight. So it was that much out of reach. And I'm talking about us being relatively new professionals who were on a decent salary and things like that. But, you know, whatever our salary was, it would cost you almost the month's salary to take a flight from Delhi to, let's say, Bangalore, or Bangalore to Delhi, which is inconceivable if you think about it now.
Yes.
Because it's a very different situation. So In 2003, the government decides, hey, it's time to look at things a little differently. So Jayanth, if you could take us through that period of time and what happened.
So there were three major things they tweaked, which is one of three main points in 2003 when they reformed the thing. So one is raising the FDI limit of 49% ownership of foreign carriers can take in terms of investment in the local ones. And they reduced the ATF, which is... which is the fuel at cost surcharge at 8%, which was way more expensive for in terms of the at that point of time. And they abolished the entire 16% of air travel tax, which was present at that point of time. In terms of 16% was huge in terms of thing, and they completely said that they're going to make it zero in terms of thing. And this opened up the skies to all the new guys who wanted to burn their money in 2003 in terms of starting the airline. So we are talking about burning money way before startups. So we have burned a lot of money in different ways.
But in this phase, one model that stands out, which was, of course, an imported model, but it absolutely created a storm. And it would not be the first time an imported model from, let's say, the American market would create a storm. I'm talking about Lalit Modi and the IPL. But let's talk about the airline model here. And through the eyes of Surya's character in Sorarai Potru, if you could put it into context as to how he envisioned revolutionizing air travel for the common man or the common Indian.
So the basic thing is, first thing is, no one requires the food because it is all short distance travel. So we'll not provide any food. And
you have to back a little bit up there in terms of the fact that the first thing he thought of was that provide point-to-point connectivity rather than doing the hub and spoke, which was the usual model for full service airlines, which is you would go from a Bangalore to, let's say, a Delhi, and you would take a stop somewhere in between at a relatively local airport. Maybe you would go Bangalore, Hyderabad, Delhi or something like that. But he thought of an airline model which said, let's serve point to point, just local, local connectivity.
Yes. So you basically wanted to connect people in terms of connecting to the ending destination rather than going round the clock in terms of the entire thing. So that's one thing. And second thing, in terms of the overall the flight model itself, they looked at the smaller ones wherein rather than going for a big jumbo jets or a Airbus kind of thing, they concentrated on smaller flights which can be used. And in terms of the both Deccan and in the movie, like how they showed in terms of converting the cargo into commercial flight in terms of putting the seats and all. More number of seats, and there's no VIP treatment or in terms of the legroom is same for everyone, in treating everyone equally important rather than selling some seats expensive premium and a few for others. And of course, no frill it was in terms of no free food. They didn't want to give out any free food, and they wanted to sell food in terms of the thing. And of course, liquor was allowed at that point of time. Not many people know that. And they said no liquor in the low cost thing. And they hired, because it was smaller flights, smaller crew was also required. So less number of people in terms of in flight, in terms of thing. And because they were not storing any too much of food, which need to be distributed, they put in more number of seats in terms of in the same flight. And the main thing is they eliminated the entire distribution, which is before it used to get sold through an intermediary. These guys went online in terms of Deccan, and in the movie, they went online selling tickets directly through the website rather than going through a portal or something, which charge anything between 15% to 20% of the flight ticket cost. And so these are some of the things. And of course, one major thing is other revenue which brought in is on-flight advertisement, which which we know was quite popular now, which was we started back in 2003, wherein they were ready to take all kinds of ad, even if rival wants to give an ad in the thing, they were ready to, as long as it made money. So these are some of the things which they tweaked.
Airline நடத்துனா நிறைய செலவாகும். ஃபிளைட்ஸோட மெயின்டெனன்ஸ், ஹேங்கர் சார்ஜ், பைலட் சம்பளம், ஃபியூல் காஸ்ட், அது இதுன்னு, இட்ஸ் எ காஸ்ட்லி பிசினஸ்.
So let's put it in the context or a framework of an economic model, which is essentially to run a low cost airline. What you need to understand is you separate your fixed cost from the variable cost, and you cut down on as much of those costs as possible. So in terms of the fixed costs, like you said, cutting down on what kind of planes they were using, increasing the utilization of the capacity on the plane by putting more number of seats and filling in those seats by selling cheap tickets early, like you mentioned. The idea being yielding the maximum amount of revenue, because you can't change the fixed cost. If a plane has to go from point A to point B, there's a certain cost to it, which it will have to pay whether it carries one passenger or 100.
Are perishable.
So even if one passenger is a big amount and the other 99 basically pay 1 rupee, if you remember, Jayant, back in the day when they started, there was a clamor for these 1 rupee tickets, and a lot of people thought, is this a scam or something like that? And again, in the movie, I think he explains that, look, is not a scam. I'm just trying to make sure that my inventory of seats is sold out, because like I said, it's perishable. So the idea was to increase the revenue as much as possible because the cost was fairly fixed, and eliminate any other frivolous costs like food or extra crew or business class or things like that, which really did not add value to the whole idea, which again was how the business model was revolutionized. Of course, this was nothing new. This had happened in the American market in the late 1970s. The American market was deregulated. It was similarly controlled, although it wasn't nationalized, but it was controlled. Routes, fares, all those things were sort of run by a government agency, but then they decided to deregulate. And out of the deregulation, many new airlines emerged. One of them, of course, is a well-known one. That is Southwest.
Yeah.
Southwest started in the 1960s, but its real growth happened in the late 1970s after Herb Keller took over. And essentially, Herb Keller is part Captain Gopinath and part Surya's character in the movie, perhaps. I mean, unwittingly, the movie is a bit of a Herb Keller biopic as well. So in terms of economics, he shifted the whole concept from all these airlines which were struggling to meet capacity, all these airlines who had gotten those licenses and completely wasted the opportunity. Here was somebody who was challenging the status quo and bringing in a true revolution.
Yes, and he did. And in terms of the company performance, they stand out in terms of America, Southwest, and in Asia. I mean, Air Asia stands out in these models consecutively, always number one in terms of the service, in terms of this category of thing. And of course,
making money as well, because Southwest for 40 consecutive years or 42 consecutive years has been making money. So, since deregulation, it has not lost money in a single quarter, although it has gone through so much, including 9/11 and so many other disruptions to air travel. Which brings us to the last point, Jayant, that the movie makes it a point to show that the airline business is not an easy business to be in. We will not give out any spoilers, but that's a mild spoiler right there for you. Although it's no secret that it's hard to run an airline because airlines have struggled throughout history. I think back in the early 2000s, there was a of information that was going around an estimate that in the first few years of 2000 or the 21st century, all the airlines had lost more money than any airline company had ever made combined since the Wright brothers first flew a plane back in St. Louis.
Yes.
So it's an astonishing stat that airlines lose so much of money because it's a tough business. Safety, etc., is very stringent. It's costly because there are so many different parts to it, including a major cost in terms of fuel, which is not always predictable. So it's a difficult industry to make money in. Richard Branson had once said that, you know, that how do you make $1 million in the airline industry? Well, you start with $1 billion. So in this context, Jayant, put in perspective in terms of economics, you know, they can eventually not really succeed, folded.
Yes.
But what is its economics legacy?
Customer happy, owner happy. இதே தோசை சாம்பார் தான் பக்கத்து ஃபைவ் ஸ்டார் ரோட்டில் பிளாக் ராம் பேன்கேக் வித் லெண்டல் சூப் விற்கிறாங்க. இங்கே என்ன குறைச்சி வெலை மட்டும்தான் குறைச்சி, ஆனால் சுத்தத்திலையோ டேஸ்ட்லையோ எந்த குறையும் கிடையாது. அதே மாதிரி தேவையில்லாத செலவும் கிடையாது. இந்த ஃபார்முலா தான் சார் என்னோட ஏர்லைன் பிஸ்னஸ்க்கு. ஒரு மணி நேரம் ஃப்ளைட்டுக்கு சார் நியூஸ் பேப்பர் மேக்சின் சாப்பாடு தரலாம். இதெல்லாம் நான் கொடுக்க போகிறதும் கிடையாது, அதுக்கான பணமும் வாங்க போகிறது கிடையாது. நமக்கு இங்கேயே 10% வெலை குறையுது. வி கீப் ஆஃப் லைட்ஸ் வெரி லைட், நோ எக்ஸ்ட்ரா ஃபுட், நோ எக்ஸ்ட்ரா ஸ்டாஃப்.
ஸோ எக்கனாமிக் லெகசி இஸ் சிம்பிள். ஐ மீன் திஸ் கை, ஐ மீன் சிம்பிளி சேஞ்ச் த நேம் ஆஃப் த கேம். Did he succeed or no, that's different. But at least he gave an idea which the latter guys or the now the present guys are at least running on those lines, in terms of at least he gave an idea like, look guys, is not the only way to run, this is the other alternative way. And
it's not the convention,
let's break every taboo.
Some of the guys who are actually making profits is running on those things, and the current guy who was the good market share actually ran a back service to the Eric when they were running the thing. So they simply changed the name of the game.
Yeah, so that company would be Interglobe Services, Jayant, and the airline of course would be Indigo, which is currently the market leader.
So what made difficult is a lot of cloners came in during this time, wherein everyone else also started the same thing post 2003-4. And because it's an airline, a lot of moving parts is there in terms of industry, and you don't have control over everything. And that is where Air Deccan lost out. And the major thing is you need to have deep pockets in terms of funding, at least. Because it's a long gestation, you have to fund it through the cycles. You can't have the one Richard Branson quote. You think there's the other way of looking at the things, which I came across in one of the interviews of Devina Mehra, where she's telling that how airlines before was run by the flamboyant pilots going and starting an airline, just something like a JRD Tata. But now airlines have become like a loser's game, which is based on a book wherein the other guys, you simply have to sit through the cycles, wait for others to make the mistake, and then when others fall, you simply raise up. Not because you're doing, you just simply consistently have to do something good. You don't have to be great. And that's a similar thing. When everyone else were going bust, just Jet sat through it. And then post this, Deccan sat through it. Then Deccan went, Kingfisher, when Jet was still there, then all these guys went down. Now Indigo and Go Air is still there, not because they're doing something very differently, but they're consistently doing something good in terms of being there and servicing. So this is winning the loser's game is what the whole game of airlines low cost has been turned into, and this is how the airline industry is run now. And during the good days, the oil prices go up, your margins are cut, the number of players come, the government rules and regulations, there's so many headwinds are there. And during the bad days, of course, like a pandemic or somewhere the volcano erupts and the entire direction of the flights have been cancelled or delayed. So these are some of the things which is why it is so difficult to succeed running a successful airline for that matter.
But eventually, like you said, the legacy of Air Deccan will remain that it completely transformed the game in the market. And of course, the other thing is when inflation adjusted, you don't have to pay anything near your monthly salary. Take one simple flight from, let's say, Bangalore to Chennai just go there, which of course is exactly how progress happens when the cost of a good or a service in real terms declines because of efficiencies and because of advancement. And we can probably thank Air Deccan to a large extent that, and that's why Surya is the hero that he is in the film, and that's why the word brave, like you said at the beginning, translating the title of the film. Why is it that?
Yes, and since we are still discussing about the movie, there are a couple of two people who I want to give shout out to. Urvashi, the lady who plays Surya's mother, is simply brilliant in the movie. And of course, the lead actress, Aparna, she has done brilliantly. I mean, put all these people into prospect. I mean, bring in a lot of emotion. I mean, I don't see why this movie is not liked. I mean, you just go and check out the IMDb ratings. You will be wowed. And it's available on Amazon, guys.
Again, Amazon has not paid us a single
penny
to say this. This is an absolutely organic recommendation. But yes, the movie was a great bit of fun, but you might learn a little bit of airline economics along the way, and hopefully you've learned a bit about airline economics and the revolution in the Indian market on this episode. We'll of course be bringing you similar other stories on the Economist podcast, so please go ahead and subscribe or leave us a review, which will help the podcast to be discovered, or subscribe to the podcast anywhere that you subscribe to podcasts from. You can follow us on Instagram at instagram.com/economist or on Twitter at twitter.com/economist, or you can subscribe to our newsletter at economist.substack.com. And that's all the time we have this week on this pod. We will soon be bringing you our year-end pod with best books that we read during the year. In the meantime, this is Tariq signing off along with Jayant.
See you guys. Stay safe. Hang in there. The year is just about to get over.
See you guys next time.